98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf have your all-access pass to exclusive conversations, untold stories that only players get to hear. It's time to go inside the locker room.
It's a new beautiful hour of the program here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Every Wednesday, 9 o'clock, we're going to go inside the locker room. And here's what's different. Rotating cast of people just to sit down in a locker room. And it's not interview-based, not even talk show-based. Just, this is what goes on. When you're telling stories and talking about what's going on within reason, of course. There are a little bit of limits.
Back up, Dougleys.
As we go inside the locker room. And Lorenzo Alexander, Ron Wolfley are both in the locker room. And I just kind of make sure that they know they're being listened to with a microphone.
We're going to toss them some towels.
As a typical media guy. I have no idea, though.
Toss us some towels.
Please. I have no idea what Maloney's rules are if I'm supposed to still say you're on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line, because that's a little weird for you to be in a locker room on a sports line. But that's where we are with Lorenzo Alexander, two-time Pro Bowler with the Cardinals, with Washington, with Oakland, with and ended his career with the Buffalo Bills. And, of course, he threw in Carolina early on. All right, Joe, there's your big rundown. Not that you needed it walking into a locker room. Your best free agent story now that we're sitting here waiting for free agency. It could be yours.
Wow,
it could be meeting
free agent.
It could be meeting a guy who comes into the locker room that you're already there.
Well, before I get into the story, I know, aren't we missing a fourth guy? He may still be at breakfast. I don't know. But
We are missing a fourth guy.
Yeah, I know Max will be on with us at some point, too. I know he has some great ones, too, but I think he's still eating breakfast. You know,
yeah, we don't know. We don't know where Max is hiding.
Right, yeah.
When you're 350, you got to eat a lot of calories.
Right, which shows you it's the locker room, because we usually keep it quiet when someone's supposed to be here and they're not. But now it's the locker room.
Nah, we got to call him out. It's accountability. You got to keep people accountable.
Yeah.
Max is getting COVID testing. Should we just say that? Because that's a locker room thing now. Where's the guy? Maybe we can't joke about it yet.
No, bad joke.
All right.
It's okay.
I tried.
No worries. But my best story, I guess, I don't really know anybody else's besides mine. And I don't know if it's great. I've been a free agent a couple of times. But the greatest one or the weirdest one I ever had was the year 2012. Obviously, the Washington is probably the biggest one, because that's when I was coming off of my first Pro Bowl as a special teamer. I also was involved in NFLPA. In that particular year, they decided to have the meetings in the Bahamas, which wasn't very convenient for anybody. And during that time, like now, free agency is, I think they hold it. They hold the meetings either before or after. So it's not like it's during. So back then, the meetings were actually during the free agency period, where, you know, you can travel, talk to teams, you know, go in and out. And I was over in the Bahamas because I was our player rep leader. And so I had to do everything from over there. And so I'm, you know, teams are trying to call, trying to get in contact with me. I wanted to go back to Washington. I vividly remember telling my agent, after listening to all the deals, and what I wanted to do is, hey, I want to go back to Washington. The deal was slightly less. The 49ers in Arizona had better deals on the table, but I was comfortable in Washington, thought we were really good. You know, that was RG3's rookie year, really balled out, thought we were going in the right direction.
Don't rub it in.
Yeah, obviously that I got moved for a reason, because it was far from that. And I called, and I remember talking to my agent the next day after. I said, so, you know, we good to go back to Washington? He said, no, they pulled the deal. They pulled the deal. I got on the phone call, calling Bruce and calling Mike Shanahan at the time, Kyle's dad, and was trying to figure out what was going on. And they was passing the buck back and forth, and, you know, we were just bidding you up because we like you and we wanted some other teams to pay you more. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. What's going on? Nobody's really answering my questions, and so – I was over in the Bahamas for that, and it was very hard because I couldn't be there in person to really talk and sit cross man-to-man and kind of look in their eyes and really get a real answer.
For those of you that don't know, this is Zoe being unbelievably classy. I, as a Washington fan, will tell you exactly what happened. What happened was the NFL was rigged that year, and I'm still upset about it, where they said there's no salary cap for the new league year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Washington and Dallas said, okay, and played by the rules. And yet everybody else snickered and said, you know what, we're really going to sneak in a salary cap, and everybody, you're expected to play by it. And Washington and Dallas ignored them. So then when Zoe becomes a free agent, the NFL says, oh, by the way, we're going to hammer you for breaking a rule that wasn't really a rule. And all of a sudden, Washington didn't have the cap room anymore to honor the deal that they had given to Zoe. And I'm still bitter about it, and I don't know why you aren't.
Well, I'm not mad at the NFL because, listen, the cap is the cap, but we all know that there's ways around the cap. And my deal, I wasn't a $7, $8 million player, right? I was in the 2 to 3 range, somewhere around there when I was getting my deal at that time of what the salary cap is in my production. So we all know where there's a will, there's a way. We all know if you extend a guy 3 or 4 years, give a signing bonus, you can spread that out and make the cap fit. So I'm upset at the NFL in a way. I mean, even the PA had to okay it, but I understand why they did it. I never got a real answer from Mike Shanahan and Bruce Allen as far as, hey, we decided to go in a different direction, and I'm okay with that. All right, we don't want you. Don't say, we couldn't because this cap. Well, you can manipulate the cap. we were bidding you up. Who bids up? Who bids their guy up they want to keep?
Right.
So that somebody else can pay him if you really want him. That makes no sense.
No sense. Wolf, do you have a free agency?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Doug, Plan B free agency. Go look it up, my young crunch.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
Google it. It doesn't exist, of course. Plan B meant you were not Plan A. And suddenly the Cleveland Browns offered me $1.2 million over 2 years, a two-year contract from Bill Belichick and the Cleveland Browns for $1.2 million, ladies and gentlemen. I could not even believe it. At that point in time, I was going into my eighth year in the National Football League as a wedge-busting fullback, a guy that basically was cannon fodder. I got all the jobs nobody else wanted to do. I didn't touch the ball. We're going to line you up in the I formation, run you through the B gap going 100 miles an hour. Oh, by the way, there's going to be another guy running the opposite direction 100 miles an hour into the B gap as well. The two shall meet, and that's going to be your career. $1.2 million for 2 years, said Bill Belichick. And suddenly I went back to the Arizona Cardinals. I actually went into Larry Wilson's office as the general manager at that point in time. And I said to him, Wils, I got this offer right now, and I don't expect you to match this offer right now, but do you think you could do $300,000 a year? Now think about that. 1.2 for this is how badly I wanted to stay with the Arizona Cardinals.
That big
how badly I wanted to stay.
I thought it's a business, Wolf.
I'm just telling you right now, the business was here. My teammates, there's no doubt about that. I always knew it was a business, yet here I was saying, could you even do $300,000 a year? Will said, Wolf, we need to take a walk. Lit a smoke, walked out of the office together, walked me down the street, and looked at me and said, you've got to take that deal. Larry Wilson, I'm telling you right now, to this day, that is the guy that he was. That is the person that he was. To this day, Wils, I love you. Thank you. Mm. His memory. We got a couple of totem poles in the Wolfley compound.
What's fantastic about that story is the reason why he wanted to take you outside is he didn't want anybody to know what he was telling you. And then that's the beauty of being in the locker room, because now you can tell, but it's going to stay in the locker room.
That's exactly right.
Very good.
He was telling me what I needed to hear.
So now the next topic in the locker room is this. Your teammate should have gone to the Pro Bowl, and he didn't. And he's now snubbed, just like Devin Booker. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf's The One, the number one story of the day.
Without a doubt, the number one story of the day, both here in Phoenix and nationally, is sports-wise, is Devin Booker and not being invited to the All-Star game. As more details came out about Tiger Woods, that became a big deal nationally until about 5 o'clock once it was learned that, hey, Tiger Woods is going to be okay as far as being able to fight through this. Now, the leg injury sustained are going to be difficult, but D-Book being snubbed was the talk of almost every NBA guy. And then this morning we talked to Kendrick Perkins, and man,
I am curious. And right now, if you're a Phoenix Suns fan, or if you, you know, or if you're a Devin Booker fan, you should be livid.
That is KP this morning. Perk was usually on ESPN as an NBA insider. We've got Lorenzo Alexander on in the locker room. You guys have seen a lot of people get snubbed for the Pro Bowl for a lot of different reasons. So how does it affect guys? I mean, do they care as much as some fans do? Do they care more than fans do when there's a big snub?
Yeah, guys care, and I think it matters how it happens, right? You know, like for me, special teams, there's only one guy that can go.
Yeah.
And so, like, when a year I think Justin Bethel went or Matthew Slater went in front of me, right, those guys are dominant players. There's only one guy that can get it, and so I didn't feel bad when it was a guy of that caliber that made it in front of me when there's definitely only one spot. Obviously, this is a different scenario, but even when I was a linebacker, you have guys that become like these perennial – household, you know, all-star, all-pro, or Pro Bowl names that get in regardless of what they do. I mean, I remember one year a guy, it might have even been Jeff Saturday, I think he played 2 or 3 games and then was hurt the rest of the year and made the Pro Bowl. You know, when things like that happen and then you have a guy that's behind him that played the entire year that's deserving, that's when guys get upset. And I think it happens maybe more in football where the fans have such an impact on the voting that it can skew it, and they just vote, you know, for a guy regardless of what he's actually done, because obviously hard to watch. And then if a guy is hurt and he's a big-time name, he can still find his way into the Pro Bowl. And so times when I felt like I was that guy getting snubbed, it rubbed me the wrong way, and I know it's rubbed other guys the wrong way, but they always say you get in a year late and then you tend to stay a year longer than you should stay. So it's kind of part of the progression as you know, a guy that is he's not a borderline all-star. He's obviously an all-star, but a guy when he's competing with, you know, other guys in around the league. And so when you look at the roster, you're like, well, okay, this guy deserves to be there. That guy's balling. That guy's balling too. So it's kind of hard, you know, in this case to be upset. But obviously if you love D-Book and what he does and you watch him every day, especially here in the Valley, like, man, there's no way this guy shouldn't be in.
Hey, Rook, get me a water, would you? You know, let me just say this. Back when I played base in earnings, and I hate saying that because it really dates me. Trust me on this one. You were voted in by your peers. It was seriously. I took it, and I think most players did, took it as an honor to be voted to the Pro Bowl because you were voted in by your peers. And then suddenly
and we didn't have 30 alternates.
And suddenly, exactly. Yeah. Suddenly we realized that maybe there were some personal stuff that was behind a lot of guys getting snubbed as well. Yeah, bad blood on the field where you would have some guys campaigning against you. And
Right, Zoe?
At some point in time you could see that happening, and sometimes you had to stand up and you had to say, you know what, we're not going to let this happen here. This guy is a great player. And sometimes it would get heated inside that meeting room when you were voting on Pro Bowl players. And I've talked about this story many times. Randy White. Okay, now, once again, Google it, my young crunks. Randy White, the manster, was his name. Half man, half monster. Randy White played for the Dallas Cowboys. Best three technique in the National Football League. Hall of Famer. Here's a guy we were not going to send to the Pro Bowl because he was mean on the football field. He was nasty on the football field. He would double chop you in the face on the
field. Right.
You know what? I stood up in that meeting and I said, we're not going to take it. I basically turned into Twisted Sister. We're not going to take it anymore, right? And we got after it. It got a little hot in that room. And we ultimately voted for Randy White, but it took some coaches coming in and actually settling everybody down.
Yeah, and in D-Book's case, I mean, even when you look at, like, the fan vote and the player vote, right, you know, they have it on the website, everybody is pretty much in line with what we think, right? So Steph Curry, he's 1-1. Luka is 2 in the fan, 3 in the player. Then you have Damian Lillard, mm-hmm. that's 3 in the fan, 2 in the player. Then here it gets, you know, Donovan Mitchell. You probably could say, hey, D-Book should be over Donovan Mitchell. But in the fan vote, he was 4. In the player vote, he was 5. And then Dev Book is right behind him, and they switch. He 5 with the fan, and then in the player is 4, right? And so you kind of get mismatches, like, okay, who do we take? And then obviously I guess Paul got picked because of the veteran leadership and what he's done, because he was a coach's choice, correct?
Yes.
And so you like, okay, of course Chris is going to get the nod because of where he's at in his career and what he's done for the game.
Yeah.
So as much as we would love to see D-Book, this is not a scenario where, as a player, I'm up in arms based on how the players are kind of, you know, looking at it and the fans. It's very close as far as how everybody's seeing things. And so obviously D-Book wants to be there. People that love him wants to be there. But his time will come. Just keep grinding, and at the end of the day, you're worried about getting championships. So, and they're in a good place where they're building towards that right now.
And typically I would say, Zoe, that, and you know this, but guys would go to the Pro Bowl about a year later than normally should have gone.
Right.
And they'd hang on for a year longer than they probably should have. And I don't know if you could say that. That's the thing that I think bothers me the most about D-Book is last year I thought he was an all-star, and this year I was sure he was an all-star. 2 years in a row, that's rough.
Yeah, yeah, and everybody loved the honor. I'd be lying if I didn't say that. But to your point, Wolf, I always, when I would see guys, and he's seeing it right now on Twitter, when guys come out and say, like a LeBron James, he's the most disrespected player in the league, and other guys, you know, Kendrick Perkins, that audio we listen to, when you have guys that have played the game at the highest level, peers that have playing right now or former players that really respect you, that can almost, you know, kind of settle you down. Like, okay, that's what really matters at the end of the day. And so when I would come into contact with players, I'd say, dude, man, I got so much respect for you, the way you play, or coaches would say that if I go to the combine or at the Super Bowl and people come up, that would almost ease the disappointment that
I felt. It was that well-met handshake, Zoe.
Yeah, because it was all about my peer. Okay, these are the guys that really know who I am, and they watch the tape, and they see it all the time. So, okay, even though I didn't go to the All-Star game, even though I wanted to, or the Pro Bowl, because I had their respect, I can live with what I did on the field. That validates it more than actually that Pro Bowl nod.
You're listening live to our coverage of the locker room with Wolf and Zoe. And I want to read this one to you, Zoe. This is a Reggie Miller tweet. Don't get mad, Devin Booker. Get even. Make a hit list. Put all the West coaches and their teams on it. And if I'm CP3, be in his ear before every game saying, I bet he didn't vote for you either. Fireworks are coming. Give me your best speech. What is the moment you are most proud of in a locker room of getting after one of your teammates where, come on, you can take credit for their performance that day because you got them going, just like Reggie Miller suggesting that to CP3.
Wow. Oh, man. My best. I mean, that's kind of out of the blue on me, man.
Or did somebody do that to you where you were ready to go? You thought you were ready to go, and somebody came up to you and said something.
The first thing that jumped in my mind wasn't even the NFL. It was in college. My boy, Brandon Sanders, we grew up together. He's actually from Oakland, and we ended up at Cal together. And I was actually I might have been a junior, and he was a freshman. But we were boys. We were more like family. And I remember sitting in the hallway before the game, before we left the hotel, and we were just sitting there kind of hanging out, jamming the music, and we were playing SC that week, my junior year. They were on pace to be the national champions or whatnot, and he's like, so, man, you can't be nice today. I need you to play angry. I need you to play mean. And I went out there, you know, and balled out versus SC in that game. We actually ended up beating them in triple overtime, you know, back when they had everybody and their mama. And they were balling out, and they might have won the national championship that year, or was up for it. And so that was probably the time where I can remember. I remember sitting there, Berkeley Marina in the hotel down there, and just jamming to I was listening to some Tupac, and my boy, he tapped me and said, "Hey man, nah man, I need you to be angry. I need you to be mean today, dominant, play big." And I went out there and did it.
It's so funny just listening to you say, you know, CP3 whispering in the ear of Devin Booker to get him fired up like that. I can tell you right now, the most fired up I ever was for a football game was when David Little, the deep snapper and reserve tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles, told me before the game, there's a bounty on you. There's a bounty on your head. And I'm telling you right now.
Buddy Ryan?
Buddy Ryan in the Buddy Ryan era right there, man. That did fire me up. Now, I don't know if D-Book, if that's going to be what D-Book needs to get fired up. I think this guy is really developing as a guy that is growing in his own awareness of who he is and what he is. And I think the Kobe comparison is an excellent comparison as to how he's developing inside. I don't know how much more motivation D-Book needs.
If you didn't hear it, Kendrick Perkins actually mentioned that earlier this morning when he was talking about whether or not Booker is somebody that might be frustrated with the snub and want to go somewhere else for attention.
Devin Booker is just built differently than everyone else.
I mean, it was awesome, and said he reminds him of Kobe. Wow, but only as it relates to the mental attack he applies to everybody else. Coming up next, more inside the locker room. There are media rumors about where different players are going that have now surfaced inside the locker room. How does that mix up the dynamic? Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf have your all-access pass to exclusive conversations. Untold stories that only players get to hear. It's time to go inside the locker room.
It's really simple how this works. We'll have a rotating group of basketball players, football players, whoever it is. Guys that might have only made it to college. I say only because I was high school Harry. Might have made it into the NFL for a cup of coffee.
You were still in a locker room.
Might be a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. You never know who's going to come walking into the locker room. And right now, it's Wolf and Zoe in the locker room. And, yeah, I played three sports in high school and was good at two of them and sat the bench in basketball. So I figured out really quickly, wow, I get to play if I foul people and don't complain. So that's basically all I did. There's a bunch of NFL stories to get to from a locker room standpoint. And who is the guy that you really loved to get upset at you? And Ndamukong Suh says he wants to meet up with Aaron Rodgers off the field because he believes they would be good in some business partnerships. But he also said he's my
favorite. First of all, hold on. Listen, I know you guys have had this fun time with Zoe. And it's great
in.
And all, but I'm back.
You done with breakfast.
I'm back.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. You
welcome.
You
in
the
month.
Guy that's walking late to the meeting with his breakfast plate full, sitting down. What's up, man?
Sounds like an old lineman.
Exactly, because I know the business. I don't need the beginning part of the meeting. I've already studied the night before. I'm
that
good.
Guy.
I'm
that
ready
guy.
For action, boss. I'm ready for action.
Yeah, I know. I bet.
Hey, did you get your set in? That's all I want to know right now. Did you actually get your set in on the bench? Did you do that yet? Because Al was walking around here looking for your butt about 5 minutes ago.
Listen, when you're smaller, you got to do bench. When you're bigger, you're trying to stay slim and fit. I'm already there. I just need to tighten. I don't need to expand.
Yeah,
I've already expanded enough.
Sit
you know?
That thing up then. All right.
Max Starks, offensive lineman, using the word tight. When's the last time you saw a tight fit offensive lineman? That's what I thought.
Yeah, there's a lot of jiggle on that now.
Everything is a tight fit.
Especially in Pittsburgh.
Okay,
I don't think
true.
Any of them is tight in Pittsburgh. Come on now.
That's true. The old lineman with the painted on clothes because you can't find stuff to fit. So, Mr. I got Super Bowl rings. I'll show up whenever I want to. We're talking about, I don't know if you heard it, but Ndamukong Suh says that I love my favorite player to upset on the field is Aaron Rodgers. Loves it. So who is your guy, Max? Who is the guy on the field that you loved to really alienate?
Oh, Terrell Suggs. Easily. No brainer.
Why? Why was that, Max?
Like what changes about him?
No, because it's a division rival, right? And Ndamukong Suh played in the NFC North. So Detroit, Green Bay, twice a year, every year. For me, we saw the Ravens. And at that time, you know, you take that snapshot of when I played in Pittsburgh, we were playing the Ravens twice, if not three times a year, because we were seeing each other in the playoffs. So I was seeing Terrell Suggs multiple times a year, and we were playing against each other multiple times. And so I remember one time I got released in the off season. This was right after the CBA when we passed the one in 2012, and I came back. I came back week four, and we played the Ravens week six. They had already played week one of the week two of the season. And so this was the second time around. So I missed the first opportunity. But I remember Terrell in an interview saying the Steelers messed up by getting rid of Max. That was your best chance at holding me at bay. And now that he isn't here, I'm going to Hawaii for sure. And so I just remember that. And then we get back. And then I come back and I'm playing against him. And he got no stats. And he literally went over to the rookie, Marcus Gilbert, on the right side and got like a batted down ball. He got a tackle for a loss. Like, he got his stats on the other side, but when he came back to my side, it was a clean sheet. So I just remember that's a vivid image that sticks in my head about all the battles we had, and that was one of those kind of galvanizing moments.
So how about him going after Gilbert right there? Oh, you throw Marcus Gilbert under the bus.
Listen, Gilly was a young buck. He had to learn. We all take our licks at the beginning, but you see that Gilly became that solid perennial right tackle that was a perennial starter until injuries. So, I mean, you have to cut your start. I remember the first time against Willie McGinnis. Willie beat me so bad, I didn't even know my shoes were laced. I thought I had unlaced shoes. So I was like, why am I not moving right
Skates!
Now? Why
are you never knew that.
Could you see those shoestrings?
Here's
no, I didn't. I didn't.
Here's the one thing that's right enough they were tied or not.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Honestly, here's the one guy I can tell you did not get under his skin. You did not get him angry, and that was Lawrence Taylor, man. I've talked about this many, many times. But, guys, Lawrence Taylor, this is a guy that used to, before games, after you'd kick the ball off and then they'd go to a TV timeout, if he were on the field, he would walk up and down the sideline like a caged animal, the other team's sideline, and call everybody out. And everyone is like, don't say anything to him. Be quiet.
I'll tell you another guy that's cut from that same cloth is Steve Smith. I used to tell people, hey, man, just let him play. Don't do anything. I remember I was in Oakland one year. One guy, you know, he's catching punt steal and told him to get out the way. And it was like a young guy. He said, what? And the dude was a corner, so he had to cover him the whole game.
Oh.
Man, I told you, if he didn't dog him and have like 100 yards by halftime and was coming in and was talking about his mama as we were walking in through the same tunnel, it was just like bad. I was like, my God, I told you don't make him upset. And you did it in pregame? But a guy that I guess I had the most fun getting upset was – Jimmy Graham, because I won a car out of it. You know, in the Pro Bowl, came over, run a little cover two, and I didn't even hit him that hard. I gave him a little love tap, knocked him on his butt. He got up all upset. The next play, Kirk Cousins drops back. Jimmy, I guess they wanted to come back at me because he was upset, but Kirk threw a ball over the middle a little high. He threw a little alligator arms out there because he didn't know if I was going to hit him again. I get a pick. Pitch it to Tlaib. He takes it for about another 80 yards, and then out of that, I became Pro Bowl MVP. So that was the best time, the most fun I had getting a guy upset at me for playing the game.
You know, with Warner's accuracy, I wonder if that was a setup. Okay, Jimmy. Okay, we'll see. And he intentionally put it over a little high just to see how bad he really wanted a piece of you or not.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on, but that was fun. He got up and ran his mouth so bad because that was a year. Peyton, who was there? It might have been Eli. Because they got up and actually said, hey, man, we need to play the Pro Bowl hard. I think it was Peyton.
Hey, man.
They might cancel it. Thomas Davis was there. He started off hitting cats. It was another DJ Alexander for the Kansas City Chiefs. What's my man from the Pittsburgh Steelers, middle linebacker that got injured? Before he got injured.
Shazier.
Shazier was there.
Shazier, uh-huh. Yeah.
He was hitting cats. So, like, all the linebackers was just killing guys the whole game, and then that was like one of the last plays of the game. So that was really memorable for me because just the linebackers kind of took over, and then I ended up winning the Pro Bowl.
Hey, Max, you got any Pro Bowl stories?
I don't think so.
He got a lot of help. Chips in, all that stuff. He got a ring, but he got a lot of help over there. You know, it's all good.
So I do remember specifically when Marquise went to his first Pro Bowl, he sent the entire offensive line out there to Hawaii. Put us up in the hotel. We're out there in Ko'olina. were walking around, and I just remember Doug Legursky, who was one of our interior swing guys. I remember Doug got so drunk at the bar, he then started calling out every single player that passed by him, and he got to Richie Incognito.
Oh,
and he's just started just mouthing off, and I was like, Doug, this is going to be bad. Okay, just shut up. We're happy to be here. We're not in the game. We're here as tourists. Just like, and then we get into the stadium for the actual game. None of us are sober at this point. And I just remember they called Andrew Whitworth out because Andrew Whitworth, when he was still with the Bengals, came running out. And Doug goes, who's that guy? He looks like Frankenstein. And his family is sitting in the row in front of us.
Oh.
And we look down. There's all these 77 Whitworth jerseys. His mom looks back at us. And I'm just like, I don't know what happened. Sorry. My friend.
I thought for sure you were going to come back at me and say, yeah, but I got two Super Bowl rings.
Right.
No, there's no need. I'm humble and gracious. You know, I listen. I got those, but I did not get that. That was the one goal. You know, when we talk about regrets in playing and what you look back on, that's the one thing I do regret is that I never made it to a Pro Bowl. I made second alternate 3 years in a row, and nobody wanted to decline. Listen.
You know the rule.
It was in Hawaii.
J.O. was injured at the end of the season. He still accepted. Willie Anderson still accepted. Both these guys finished the year on IR. I'm like, I got it this year. I have to. These guys are injured, and I'm the second alternate.
Hey, Max.
So I'm like, I'm going to make it. Both these guys opt in. And I'm like, this sucks.
Max, just remember, man, you only rip the dudes you love.
Yeah, well.
Remember that, bro.
Oh, yeah.
My moral of the story is I have as many Pro Bowls as you do. So that's how I look at it.
You rest your head on that, Doug.
Yeah, thank you. And you know what? I can't do it. I don't mean to bring it down, but I got to do it. Because hearing you, Zoe, talk about big hits of the Pro Bowl, God bless Sean Taylor, baby. I mean, that is the greatest Pro Bowl moment ever.
That was SDOT, though, if Sean Taylor, if you was ever around him, practice, it didn't matter. Oh. He was always on 100.
Oh, man, a man from heaven. Coming up next, our final beautiful part of the program where you get exclusive access to a locker room. But the topic is one of the ones that people don't like to talk about in the locker room. When's it time to hang it up? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf have your all-access pass to exclusive conversations. Untold stories that only players get to hear. It's time to go inside the locker room.
Lorenzo Alexander, he's with us in the locker room. So are you. Max Starks. He's wanting to talk about Super Bowls and drunk Doug, which I don't know if I'm a little nervous about because I'm afraid that Minchin Maloney will be pulling that for future rejoins. And then Wolf is here. And even though technically we're in the Auction Community Studios, we're just telling stories. And it's a new beautiful part of the program every hour from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock on Wednesdays where different athletes just come in, talk ball, talk about things they did in the locker room. And one thing that you don't mess with is a man's money and a man's family. But I got to tell you, this Big Ben story is a little different because you're the one guy in the locker room right now, Max, that's also been in the locker room with Big Ben. All he's done is allow the salary cap charges to be kicked down the way for years to help the Steelers. Now the bill has come due. And they're basically saying, you'll take a pay cut and you'll like it, or you'll be cut, or you'll be retired. And that's – I'm amazed how it looks like Big Ben is listening.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You know, when you're at that point in your career where, you know, you've made a lot of money, and Ben's made a ton of money in Pittsburgh, what's more important to you, right? Your legacy – what you're trying to accomplish, that Super Bowl quote-unquote window being closed or near closing, and you not wanting to miss that moment. You not wanting to have that FOMO, right? I think this is a classic example where because you've kicked it so far, you've now got to make these sacrifices if you're truly a team player, if you're truly a captain of a team. And I think for Ben, you know, his legacy did not – he did not end last year on the note he wanted to, right? It was starting. It looked – had a great trajectory when you think of the first 11 weeks of the season, 11-0, and kind of the role that the Steelers were on, best start in franchise history. It looked like we were getting near the storybook ending, right? Every player looks for that storybook ending to their career where it's like, you know what, I'm going to walk off the field, you know, helmet over my shoulder, and I'm going to wave the game goodbye, right? We see those pictures all the time, but that's not the reality of it. And Zoe can speak to this, and Wolf can speak to this. You know, it never ends the way you envision it in your mind. Now, you do get the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going to retire. You know, some people, a lot of people get that opportunity, but more cases than not, even when you think of the great Troy Polamalu, right? Troy's a Hall of Famer. Troy did not leave on his own terms. You know, James Ferrier did not leave on his own terms. James Harrison kind of left us on terms, but it wasn't the most perfect thing, right? He had to go to New England and come back, and had to go to Cincinnati and come back. Right. So, you know, players don't get that. Jerome Bettis, like the thing I think that kind of spoiled a lot of us.
Kobe scoring 60.
I think Ben, yes, Kobe scoring 60, but for Ben, it was seeing Jerome, right? Jerome got pulled back, hey, this is my one last season. And Jerome gets to go out on his own terms, and he retires, essentially plays his last game in his hometown where he started playing football and won a Super Bowl on top of that. Like, it's the trifecta. You know, Ray Lewis getting to pick when he gets to retire after winning a Super Bowl, that doesn't happen for the majority of us. And I think Ben is still chasing that.
Yeah, but Zoe, did you ever
that he saw as a second-year player?
Zoe, did you ever walk on one of those phone calls you talked about when you talked to Mike Shanahan, when you're negotiating or you're thinking about the end, did you ever say legacy in one of your free agency conversations?
No, I mean, that never came up. Legacy never came up. I mean, but I'm not that type of player either. I mean, I've been really – I'm real – real with who I am and where I fit in the food chain of everything. And so legacy never came out. I just wanted to stay there, and I had earned the right to stay there and get paid a certain amount. But I never said, okay, well, you owe me this because of all this I've done for you.
When did you know you were done?
Me?
Yeah. When did you know, Zoe, deep in your heart you were done?
Right. So for me, it was a little bit different. So I got to walk away on my own terms. You know, I don't think a lot of players get this to Max's point. You know, I mean, because the Bills wanted me back. I just was done. As far as the mental, the grind, and the body of it. And it was actually in 2018, and I actually played really good that game versus Kirk Cousins again. Pressure, sacks. But before the game, I vividly remember sitting on the bench. I go out there, warm up, and I normally kind of sit down and chill and just kind of take in the atmosphere, maybe talk to some guys that I know. And I remember just sitting there being at peace with, I don't need this anymore. It's time for me to walk away.
You actually had that thought.
I had that thought. I remember sharing it later in Bible study with our pastor and some other guys. I was at peace with being able to walk away. Now, I played another season because I thought physically I was ready. But after that next season of having to endure, just having to feel like physical therapy became like almost like another job. And just the way I felt and just the quality of life I was done no matter what. Because I remember even sitting in doing my deal after the 2018 year, and Brandon Bean was like, hey, you want a 2 year? I was like, nope, I just want a 1 year. I know where I'm at. You want a two? No, I'm good. So I ended up just doing that, playing it out, because I knew if I signed a 2 year, just because I'm committed, I'm not going to leave no money out on the table. Yeah. I ought to probably fought myself, but I knew it wasn't going to be the best thing for me in the long run. So 2018, I knew I was done, and I made sure that I was going to set myself up to be walking out in 2019.
Now, Max, they got to come in and clean the locker room for COVID, of course, so you've only got about a minute. But when did you know?
You know, it was funny. I was actually with the Cardinals, and we were going into our second preseason game up in Minnesota, and I remember vividly being on the team bus heading to the stadium, and I watched my daughter's delivery on FaceTime.
Oh.
And I was, you know, it was one of those moments where it's like, man, you start to realize what's really important to you.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remember being clouded. in my head. I mean, I'm going up to Minnesota. We're playing at University of Minnesota right this after the dome collapse, so we're still in that outdoor stadium playing. And I just remember kind of being foggy because I'm thinking about my daughter. When can I get back home to her, to see her, to hold her for the first time? And I was talking with my Uncle Joey, who played in Minnesota at the time. He came up for the game to watch me play. And I just remember he said, "Hey," he said, "family is the most important thing." I remember him saying that in my head before the game in the end zone. And I go out there and I'm playing, having a good game against Everson Griffin. And I just remember getting hit from behind as I'm trying to sit down on a bull rush, and the running back hit the back of my leg, and I thought I tore my ACL. It felt horrible. You know, I get carted off the field, sent back to X-rays. And
you know what's terrible about your story time is you tell this heartwarming story, and you couldn't remember. You only had a minute to tell it. Now we all feel bad. How did the show make you feel? I told you the locker room's getting cleaned out.
Good stuff.
Duggan Wolfs.
How many Pro Bowls, Max?
Oh, man.
The
new Super Bowls, Wolf.
Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
Well,
that's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway
okay, I'll take a high rise in Miami.
My big takeaway from today's show is now official that I have the same number of Pro Bowls as Max Starks. Zoe?
Hey, well, my big takeaway is that I'm running an NFL flag league out here in Arcadia and Scottsdale. So if you have young kids that want to play from the ages of 5 to 14, hey, sign up. Go to LorenzoAlexander.org. Check us out. It's going to be a great time this spring and then also in the fall.
Max? Oh, you're not even ready.
Oh, gosh.
You know what? Peace.
And they're the smart guys.
Rookie.
And they're the smart ones.